Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer first. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee above all for the Christ of Calvary. We thank Thee for the infinite love that has been offered full and free to whomsoever will. The mighty work that Christ Himself performed in the defeat of Satan. And yet that gift of eternal life is only to those that appropriate it to themselves. Then we thank Thee for the wonderful, the patient love of the Holy Spirit in dealing with us prior to our salvation, and even after we have trusted Christ as Savior, when our hearts become cold and indifferent, He woos and wins us back to Himself. Even many times at the appointment of chastening. Now we ask, as we open this Thy precious Word, that our spiritual minds and hearts would be open, that we might understand and see wonderful things from that Word. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. Now our brother this morning had a long, long lesson. And one of the lessons that had been overlooked, wasn't overlooked really, our brother Stanley Hunt was with us the day that Brother Richard was away. And so we will pick up that lesson. That's in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. And we'll be able to read most of this. This morning he would have spent most of his time reading, I believe. 2 Kings, 6th chapter. And was essentially mentioned a little earlier. We saw that in the morning meeting, Sunday school hour. Judgment begins at the house of God. If judgment begins at the house of God, how much more for those that are outside of the household of God? Of course, the judgment at the house of God is chastening, the drawing back of His people to Himself, to make better people. All right, beginning with the 24th verse. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it, until an ass's head was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a cab of dove's leavings or dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, don't get that wrong there. That's not actually dove dung. It is literally an edible bulb, and they call it the Star of Bethlehem. A little bulb that grows wild. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, how shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said unto her, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, Give thy son, that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said unto her at the next day, Give thy son, that we may eat him. And she had hidden her son. And it came to pass, when the king heard these words of the woman, that he tore his clothes. And he passed by upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath upon his flesh. Then he said, God do so, and more also to me, that the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him, but before the messenger came to him, he said unto the elders, or said to the elders, See ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger cometh, shut the door, hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he yet talked with him, behold, the messenger came down unto him, and he said, Behold, this evil is of the Lord, or Jehovah. Why should I wait for Jehovah any longer? Then Elisha said, Hear ye the word of the Lord, or Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah, Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, Behold, if Jehovah would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat of it. And there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we but shall die. We shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the edge of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syria hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried from there silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again, and entered into another tent, and carried from there also, and went and hid it. And they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning lights, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied, asses tied, and tents as they were. And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed. And let us send and see. And they took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them unto the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a shekel of fine flour was sold for a shekel, a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of Jehovah. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. And the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. As the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, Two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. And the Lord answered the man of God and said, Now, behold, if the Lord or Jehovah should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat of it. And so it fell out unto him, for the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. We find that Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered against them. But if we go back a little farther, we see Naaman was a Syrian. And, of course, the little captive girl had been taken away. And it ultimately resulted, if you would, in the salvation of Naaman. He had everything, but he was a leper. When he took God at his word, we find his leprosy was cleansed. And then the king of Syria didn't attack Israel. And then we find the same thing happens when the Syrian soldiers, remember when they were trying to get the same people, trying to capture the king of Israel. And the prophet kept telling the king of Israel's people where the Syrian king was. So they always avoided him. So then they sent out and they encompassed the city where Elisha was. They woke up in the morning, and the servant looked out and he saw the whole town or city surrounded with the enemy troops. But the Lord said that those that be with us are greater than those that are with them, Elisha said. Now Elisha asked the Lord to open his eyes, and he saw all the fiery chariots and men of arms, if you will, between the Syrians and themselves. Of course, they led the Syrian army right into their hometown, or into Samaria, the capital. And instead of slaying them, they saved them alive, fed them, went back to Syria. And again, we find that the king of Syria, evidently these must have been different dynasties or whatever. Either that or each time they had a change of heart. So here we find Ben-Hadad has come back against them again. I'd like to look at Leviticus 26, I believe it is. Leviticus 26, beginning with the 27th verse. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And then in Deuteronomy 28, so these people, this wasn't anything new to them. It wasn't that God had not already warned them. And we must remember, even though they were the northern part of Israel, the part that had broken away, they were still God's chosen people. In Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verses 52, and he shall besiege thee and all thy gates until thy high and fortified walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all the land, and he shall besiege thee and all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord, or Jehovah, remember where it's all capitalized, it is Jehovah, thy God hath given thee, and thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body. Isn't that what we just read? And the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, whom the Lord or Jehovah thy God hath given thee, in the siege and in the distress wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. They were warned in plenty of time. Now this was hundreds of years, possibly more than that. But the word of God was there. This was in the Pentateuch, their book, their word. But as a whole, they had turned their back on going to Jerusalem. And once they were in the land, God had a place for them to meet. But even we find later on that they were still giving incense, even when they were right with God, from the high places. And these things were to be done away with too. Because what were they were doing when they were doing that? They were walking, as it were, right on a boundary line. Pretty soon, you're going to step over the boundary line. And they're going to be worshiping idols. And then we find that an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces. And the ass was an unclean animal. And yet we find them willing to pay this much money for just the head. Can you imagine? I think most people here have seen a donkey. How much meat is on a donkey's head? And they're giving 4 shekels for a donkey's head. That's how desperate they were for food. And this little cab of a dove's leavings, even these little bulbs, little tiny bulbs, they were willing to give a shekel just for a little bite to put in their mouth. And the king of Israel was passing upon the wall. Can you imagine this? Help my Lord, O King. And he said, if the Lord or Jehovah do not help thee, how shall I help thee? Too bad he doesn't take some of his own advice. Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered. Now you talk about an unnatural affection. Eating your own child. Now, I've heard of men during the war that actually cannibalized, but usually the other person had died. And even in, what was the pass in California? Remember? When the wagon train went through there back in the 1800s, they got caught in a blizzard. The people that lived had actually eaten other people's bodies. I almost got it on my tongue that time. But regardless, most of these people, if not all, had already died. This wasn't the case here. They slew the child that they might have something to eat. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, and I believe the first four verses. Second Timothy 3. One through four. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And isn't that what we got today? They teach that. They actually teach it in the schools, to be lovers of yourself. Me first. The first time I ran into that was about halfway through the Korean escapade, or whatever you want to call it. Prior to that, you went out the idea of honor. Stand up for your country. And then on leave one time, I heard guys saying, better a live coward than a dead hero. We weren't brought up that way. You had to look at yourself in the mirror. I got a man in the White House. I don't know if he looks in a special mirror or something that doesn't show what he is. Like, you know, you can go to the fair and that, and you can look at mirrors that show you in all different kinds of conditions. He may have a mirror that makes him look a little better than what he is. Lovers of their own selves, covetous. And by the way, the Lord's people, this is written to the Lord's people, remember. Covetousness. And brothers and sisters, how much of it can you take with you? Not one thin dime. Blasphemers, well, before that, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and boy, we've got that today. Unthankful, we've got that as well. Unholy, all of these things apply today. Without natural affection, could you just give another term for that, eating your own child? Truce breakers. False accusers. We've got it on every hand. We wonder why our court systems don't function. Perjury means nothing. There was a day if you perjured yourself, they burned you. But not anymore. But even ungodly people, years ago, they put their hand on the Bible and they swore to tell the truth. Essentially, they told the truth, or they kept their mouths shut. But they have no fear anymore. And yet most of the preachers we have have preached the fire out of hell. God has never taken the fire out of hell. Incontinent, that means lack of self-control. We've got much of that as well. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. And don't we have that now? See it in the paper. We hear it on the TV. We hear it on the radio. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I know we have this racing. Nothing wrong with racing. But every time I can hear them on top of the hill from home, the first thing goes through my mind is the Colosseum of Rome. They had races there too, chariot races. But they also murdered God's people there. Even to the tune of Nero having the bodies painted with coal tar and then lit on fire to help light the Colosseum while all these things were going on. But I know every time I hear that, that's the first thing goes through my head. And how many of them do we ever see at a gospel meeting? Not just here, any meeting. They don't have time for it. And some claim to be the Lord's, but that comes first. Then I'd like to look at Joel. Joel, the second chapter. Excuse me. Verses 12 and 13. Therefore also now, saith Jehovah, turn even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and tear your heart, not your garments. And turn unto Jehovah your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But ultimately, the hand of judgment is coming down. Verse 31 in 2 Kings 6 chapter. Then he said, God, do so, and more also to me, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on his head. He's blaming someone else for what he has done, or his people. Let us turn back to the third chapter of Genesis. Genesis 3. Pretty bad when the speaker can't even find it. Genesis 3, 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Both of them passing the buck. And that's exactly what this king was doing. Passing the buck. I'm not to blame. Elisha's the one that caused all of this. Now quickly over to chapter 7. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of Jehovah. Thus saith Jehovah, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of flour, that's fine flour, be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. And I doubt at the time that there was any flour at all in the city, except possibly in the king's kitchen. Little note that I have written down here, not in heavens above, nor in the depths beneath, but at the door. God's blessings were right at the door. Let us turn to Romans 10. Romans, the 10th chapter. And we'll begin with verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh
on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach.
The way of salvation is right here. You don't have to be going looking far for it. And in this country, there is no excuse. I'm afraid when the judgment of God comes down on us, we are going to pay one awful price. A country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And as a whole, we're turning our back on it.
Verse 2. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of the God and said, Behold, if Jehovah would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat of it. And then verse 3. And there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die?
Death was before them, behind them, and all around them. For anyone that's outside of Christ, that's the situation. For you and I as Christians, whether we're handing out a tract, we're witnessing verbally, whether you're teaching, whatever the case, we're standing between the quick and the dead. As has been mentioned before, when you're witnessing to the lost, and you, for the life of you, you can't understand why they can't see it. They're dead. They're walking corpses. How do you expect them to understand? And yet we remember in Ezekiel, when the prophet was told to speak to the dead bones, that speaks to us of those that are outside of Christ as well. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They died. Yet they lived. Adam lived to what, 939 years, I believe. But he was dead. He died the moment he sinned. Fellowship was gone. Spiritually, he was dead. In John, the first part of John, the third chapter, it went three times over in the first seven or eight verses. Ye must be born again. And that implies that they were dead. So when we're speaking to the lost, we are speaking to walking corpses spiritually. And that's what the situation that these men were in. They were desperate. Let us look at Romans, the fifth chapter. Romans 5, beginning with the sixth verse. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, and that was the case of these men, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. And we've known of that. During the war, how many times, even in Vietnam, how many times have young men thrown themselves on hand grenades? That they've been thrown. Sometimes it didn't go off and they lived. But how many deaths did those young men go through waiting for that thing to blow them to pieces? And many others actually died, but they did that to save their fellow soldiers. So that there are those that are willing to die for a good man. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, while we were yet the enemies of God. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. We're reconciled to God. In another place we find we're justified, just as though we had never sinned. So these men were in a desperate plight. Down in verse 5. Well, let's read verse 4. If we say we enter into the city,
then the famine is in the city. And we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Didn't matter where they were starving to death. Now therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up. This is action. They did something about their circumstances. Now God has never twisted the arm of the lost people to be saved. When the Lord was here, did you ever hear him begging people to be saved? He laid it on the line. The truth was made known. You either accept or you reject. And the Word of God also tells us that those that being often reproved, what? Hardeneth their neck. Automatically it becomes harder. It becomes easier to reject the next time. Until such a time that the Spirit of God may just stop dealing with us. My spirit shall not always strive with man. But you and I have no idea when he's going to stop dealing with any individual. We find here a defeated enemy. We don't have the time to go into all the verses, but these men made a decision. In Ezekiel 33 and 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn ye, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? But that applies to the lost just as well. God doesn't want to see them. And yet we find in the Psalms, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? We go to be with himself. What did Paul say? 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. And he even believed that this is the reason he had the thorn in his side. Because all of us have the same nature. We get a little knowledge or things that others don't know, and you know this starts happening. It gets to where you can't wear your hat. But he had the goad in his side to keep him humble. And yet we have men out there supposedly demanding that God heals this person, the other person. It's not his place to demand anything like that. Which of them can say they stand on the same level with the Apostle Paul? Three times over he asked the Lord to remove the thorn. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And brothers and sisters, remember this. We'll not be tempted or tested above that which we are able. We see some people that are very sick. Some have a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. Some may be just problems, still suffering. And then we look at others and it looks like they have no problem. Christian. But did you ever stop to think? I was speaking with a brother who was out at the little picnic they had yesterday. And he said he's thought on that a few times, a younger man, of late. Possibly the ones that don't have any suffering couldn't handle it. What's it say? You'll not be tempted or tested above that which you are able. But remember this. Each time you overcome, you become what? Stronger. Well, then if you become stronger, greater temptation is going to be put in front of you. And the stronger you get, the greater the temptation. But the Lord is doing what? He's shaping us. He's preparing us for the day that he's going to take us home.
Then in John 6 and 37, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. They made a decision. We have to make a decision. Those of us, most here, I believe, I think possibly all except possibly the wee ones, if something were to happen, they would be with the Lord. We have to make a decision to live for him too. We have to make a decision to speak up for him. Even if it's just giving out a tract, if we can't speak up. There are those that are going to laugh, and more so today. I find it every day. You run into more and more that'll smirk, or turn away, or just out and out laugh. So we're headed in that direction. But praise God, we may be touched with the very beginnings of the tribulation, but we won't go through it. Thank the Lord for that. Men and women outside of Christ will want to die and won't be able to. It'll be so bad.
John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth or trusteth in me hath, present tense, hath everlasting life. You've got it right now. And then we find in Ephesians, he has raised us up together and seated us together in Christ Jesus. God sees us as though we were already in heaven. We're accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in the beloved. We're accepted as the beloved. That's the hardest thing to grasp. The love that God has for his son, his delight in his son, and he delights in us, even with all of our shortcomings.
Amos 10:9-10. I should be able to quote it, but I'd better look at it. I thought maybe we could save a little time there.
That was Romans 10, excuse me. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And for those that believe, what? They are not ashamed of the gospel. So we may not be ashamed of the gospel, but sometimes we're fearful of saying something in front of these people. We're fearful of being scorned. We're fearful of being laughed at. And then lots of times, I believe that is very subtle, we know that, but is more treacherous than if someone were to do something physically to you.
John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life, spiritual life. We already belong to the Lord. And then we find there was the discovery. They found all these wonderful things. Can you imagine starving to death and then going into a tent, sitting down, eating yourself to the full? And then carting off gold, silver, apparel, and food for 3 days and hiding it. But then what did they say? Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good things, and we hold our peace. I'd like to look at Luke 4. Luke, the 4th chapter. Mama. 22nd verse. And all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And then Mark 16. The 15th verse. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now we know that some use this verse to teach that you have to be baptized, but I don't see anything about not being baptized or that would cause you to be damned. You're saved first, then you're baptized because the Lord requests it. It's a witness to your death to the old person and your resurrection to your new life in himself. And that's exactly what happened to these men that were starving. They witnessed to the city, and the city was saved alive, except for the one man that's gone.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful love that has been bestowed upon us. We thank thee for that wonderful man of Calvary, that unique man, the only one in all of the universe that is both God and man at one at the same time. For those, not only in this little meeting, but in every meeting, that know Christ as Savior, our request is that we might draw closer to Himself, that we might be conformed unto His image. And whether we're fearful or not, that we will stand up for the truth, stand up for our Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we would be faithful to Himself. Again, we think of the many that have been laid aside with illness, some very, very seriously. We ask of thy mind and will that they might be raised up. But above all, we ask that thy will be done and not our own. Now we ask that thou would be with us, take us to our several homes in safety. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.